brother. Mainstream media. Government cover-ups. You want answers? Well, so does he. He's Alex Jones on the GCN Radio Network. And now, live from Austin, Texas, Alex Jones.
Second hour of this global transmission coming forth. Thanks for tuning in. You are listening to the Alex Jones Show, Genesis Communications Radio Network, all the news fit to suppress. I'm Jack Blood, your radio gun, sitting in for Alex Jones today and potentially tomorrow. Alex should be back, well-rested, and ready to take on the entire New World Order by himself, single-handedly, on Wednesday. We all have to get away from this every once in a while, and I'm sure you understand that. And, well, I guess I'll be scheduling my vacation sometime next year or the year after. Going to ground zero, though, going around the country, speaking, doing what I can, literally for free, sometimes even paying, to get out there and get the message out. We have accomplished so much, and that always means to me that we have to redouble our efforts. And if we can get people energized, get people excited, get people motivated to get out there, to get some notches in your gun, to get some, that's a metaphor, folks, don't freak out on me, to get some victories under your belt, it is addictive. Oh, let's face it, you know, all of us out here who oppose the system, who question authority, who are rebellious in nature, generally have addictive personalities. Well, get addicted to fighting against tyranny. Get addicted to preserving liberty and freedom for our children and our grandchildren. Not a more important time in history as we face the technological overlords, the scientific dictatorship, in a way that no generation has ever had to face thousands, millions of years before us. It's on us. It's on our shoulders. And it's exciting to get out there and get active and start fighting. Webster Tarpley joining us here in just a few minutes, and we'll pick his rather generous brain, his large brain, on exactly what is going on in the Middle East, what's going on around the world. Great analysis always coming from Webster Tarpley. He'll join us in just a few minutes. Let's go back to the phones quickly here. Mike in Texas, thanks for joining us. You're on the Alex Jones Show.
Hello, Jack. Earlier, I believe you were discussing what percentage of the public would be skeptical of the government's boogeyman version of yet another government-sponsored act of terrorism.
Yeah, 45% skeptical.
Well, I believe that, 5 years ago, the government, the truth movement and people in general weren't as internet savvy as they are now, and what I think would happen would be somehow the government would find a way to cripple and sabotage the internet in some way, so we'd all be forced to cower around a little lantern and listen to ABC or one phony single network situation.
Are you familiar with the net neutrality bills currently in the Senate right now?
I've heard about Alex Jones talking about them, how they're looking for a way to...
They're going to hijack the internet, and they're going to price us out of it. So I don't know if they're going to crash it, per se, but one way to do this is to tax it and price people out of it so that it's hard to get real information, so that you're, again, at the mercy of the talking heads. Go ahead.
Yeah, they could easily just sabotage, jam it somehow. They've got to, eggheads are able to do it.
But they're benefiting off of it, too. That's why this poll, I think, leans in the wrong direction.
Oh, I see. Well, yeah, I just, all I know is I don't think you'd have any situations with Dan Rathers is saying, well, it looks like one of those controlled demolitions we're so used to seeing. You know, you wouldn't have any of those flip-ups like that.
Right.
It would we're
watching this. Save the Internet, by the way. SaveTheInternet.com is a petition I would sign. I've signed it, and it makes it really easy for you to help fight the Senate for net neutrality, something we want. We're pro-net neutrality. We are against the COPE law. Hey, Mike, thanks for your call. I appreciate it. I got to keep moving here. George in Indiana, thank you for joining us. You're on the Alex Jones Show.
Yeah, Jack, you and Alex do a great job. I listen to this show an awful lot. I have degenerative disc disease, so I spend a lot of time in front of the computer, and there's a couple of things I want to mention, though. 95% of you guys bring out the truth, and I've seen every movie, everything you guys have, and I totally agree with it. I have a problem with you slamming Israel, though, because in the Bible it says God will bless those countries that bless Israel and curse those that curse Israel. So you have to realize, even if there's bad...
Well, we better start getting into semantics and figuring out what he meant by Israel. I'm not sure if he meant the Balfour Rothschild Israel or another Israel, and that is something that we could talk about. Stay tuned, folks. We'll be right back with Webster Tarpley right after this.
There is a secret that holds the world's destiny in its grasp. Hello, my friends. Alex Jones here. Learn that secret with my new film, Martial Law, 9/11 Rise of the Police State. Martial Law plumbs the depths of the New World Order's ideology, their philosophy. Out of the ashes of the September 11th tragedy, a dark empire of war and tyranny has risen. The Constitution has been shredded, and America is now a police state. This film exposes not just who was behind the 9/11 attacks, but the roots and history of its orchestrators. Martial Law is a blazing spotlight piercing the electronic Berlin Wall of controlled corporate media. Plumb the depths of the elite's minds, their ideology, their driving philosophy, and uncover the power-mad cult of death that is sworn to turn the Earth into a prison planet. Discover the documentary for yourself before it's too late. Call toll-free to get a copy of Martial Law. 1-888-253-3139. Or visit InfoWars.com and the secure shopping cart. That's InfoWars.com or 888-253-3139. Or watch the film right now online at PrisonPlanet.tv.
The Berkey Light is your premier source for purified water. It's portable and requires no water pressure, so you can enjoy healthy drinking water, whether it's during normal times or hostile environments like a local or national emergency. That's because it can purify raw, untreated water from remote lakes and stagnant ponds. The Berkey Light is unique because it removes pathogenic bacteria, cyst parasites, and harmful chemicals to below detectable levels. It also removes foul taste and odors like the rotten egg smell of sulfide, and it extracts nitrates and unhealthy minerals like lead and mercury while leaving in the healthful and nutritional minerals that your body needs. The Berkey Light's rechargeable LED lighting system is so bright it can be used as a reading light. Get the Berkey Light for only $259 by calling New Millennium at 888-803-4438 and tell them Alex Jones sent you. That's toll-free 888-803-4438 or order on the web at berkeywater.com. Not yet available in Iowa.
Hey, Bill. I'm buying lunch today. And check this out. I bought a new car.
Wow, John, I guess you took my advice and visited that website we were talking about over lunch last time we met. www.didyourobbillgates.com.
I did, and you were right. I learned how to make $3,000 to $9,000 each and every week, starting with my very first week. And it's a simple program that does all the work for you. I'm already up to $25,000 just going on my fifth week.
Whoa, that's awesome. John, your business will keep growing as mine has. In fact, people are joining from all over the world. It's incredible.
Everyone should go to www.didyourobbillgates.com and learn how this program can help them become financially independent, too. Thanks a million, Bill, for telling me about www.didyourobbillgates.com.
Check, please.
I got this one, Bill.
Sure, John. Let's tell everyone about www.didyourobbillgates.com.
Deal.
He's the T-Rex of political talk. Alex Jones on the GCN Radio Network.
I think it's fair to say that the last gentleman calling in, I understand you people have questions and you're reading from the Bible and you're trying to figure all this out. I'm just going to tell you my words, not Alex Jones's, no one else's, but hate is hate is hate is hate. Violence is violence is violence is violence. And I don't think the Bible would condone the violence from modern-day Israel, the state of Israel, the government of Israel, and, of course, the cause of Zionism. And we just have to do a little homework and find out how all of this began, and we would probably be a little less supportive of the biblical version of Israel. But we'll go right out of that and right into Webster Tarpley. Webster Tarpley's great book, 9/11 Synthetic Terror Made in the USA, is a must-read for everybody. It covers both the World Trade Center 93, 9/11, and the terrorist cause as we should know it. It is available at InfoWars.com. Webster Tarpley joins us now. Webster, always great to talk to you, sir.
Thank you, Jack. How are you?
Great. You know, when this whole thing brewed up in the Middle East, I thought, well, the first person I want to get the opinion of is Webster Tarpley. I got to know what Webster's thinking about all of this. So where do you want to start with this, Webster? Recent developments, how this all got started? You go ahead and take it away.
Why don't we start with recent developments, and then we can get to some causes going back to 1975 or 1982. And I think we also have to talk about the Geneva Accords, which is, I think, the universally recognized means of getting out of this. In other words, ending the Israeli occupation of the occupied territories. But I think the immediate background is something like this. We have a meeting in Beaver Creek, Colorado, in the middle of June about a month ago now, which was attended by Cheney, by Rumsfeld, and by Netanyahu, the prominent extreme right-wing or neo-fascist Israeli politician. And out of this apparently came the notion of starting a war on the lines of what we've seen so far, but with the very strong option of turning this into a general Middle East war by means of an attack on Syria and or Iran. And I guess the preferred option is Syria and Iran. You will have noticed the litany, the propaganda, brainwashing litany that's coming from all of the controlled corporate media, from the Israeli government, from Condoleezza Rice, from Bush and so forth as he reads his lines, is that Syria and Iran support Hezbollah, and therefore they have got to be in the bullseye. So the idea is we had Netanyahu at the American Enterprise Institute conference in Beaver Creek, Colorado, mid-June. We also had Olmert here in Washington, the prime minister, at the end of May, and around that same time, Tony Blair also in Washington. And it was clear at that time that some, as Bush said in his press conference with Blair, they talked about Iran the entire time. And it seems to be something like this, that what we're going to be treated to now over the next several weeks is continuous Israeli bombing. And this is bombing of the civilian infrastructure of Lebanon. This is bombing electrical power plants, water treatment facilities. The Israelis have destroyed about 50 bridges inside Lebanon. They have targeted civilian areas. They have targeted the Lebanese army, which makes no sense in terms of what they say that they're doing. They've got a sea blockade going, which has cut off the arrival of fuel in the form of fuel oil and gasoline. They've got the airport destroyed, as you've seen. They've got the fuel dumps at the airport destroyed and burning. Basically an interdiction of all of the highways that lead out of this country. So it is a war against the civilian population.
Sounds like Ramadi a little bit. Like, well, we've forgotten that happened a few weeks ago, but it sounds a lot like what happened in Ramadi.
It is a crime against humanity. It is a violation of international law. These are actually Nuremberg crimes. These are high crimes and against humanity in the sense of the Nuremberg precedent. And this, I think, was invoked by the Prime Minister of Lebanon. But this is only the beginning. Now, the idea would be that at a certain point, we see that the Hamas has been able to supply itself with certain kinds of rockets. These are short-range rockets with no particular accuracy, but they have had some effect. In the process, they have shown that the policy of unilateralism, as pursued by Sharon and Olmert, is absolutely untenable, because these were people who told the Israelis, don't make peace, forget about a political solution, all you need to do is build that wall around Israel, and actually far into the Palestinian territory, not at all on the Green Line, but on you know, well in advance of it, well forward of what would ever go to Israel under any kind of a political settlement. So they're told that they can hunker down behind that wall and simply ignore everybody on the outside. And this has turned out to be as illusory as the Maginot Line. The Maginot Line, of course, you could go around it. In the case of this wall, the rockets go over it. And this shows that without a political solution, there will simply be endless war, and there will be zero security for the people in Lebanon. But that's just by the by. The main issue now is that at a certain point, we can imagine Olmert throwing his hands up and saying, that's it, I've had enough, we've had missiles coming down in Haifa or Tel Aviv or some other place, and now we're going to have a massive air attack against Syria. This is widely speculated through intelligence reports that the Israeli Defense Force is preparing a sneak attack on the Syrian radar and Air Force facilities, such as they are. They're not modern, but they do have some weight, and they're there. That this would then be an attack against Syria. And it might also include some kind of mad adventure whereby the Israelis launch an attack on Iran. Now, they do not have the logistical depth to do a serious job on Iran, certainly, but this would then be a general war. It would be expected that the Syrians and the Iranians would retaliate against Israel with such means as they have, which could turn out to be fairly substantial, and at that point the U.S. would be dragged into the war. But you see the defect with this scenario from the point of view of Cheney and company is that this would be the U.S. dragged into war as the tail on the Israeli kite, as the tail on the Israeli dog, if you will. And therefore, what I've been concerned about during the weekend is the potential for false flag operations done by the Israelis using the fact that we've got 25,000 American citizens, people carrying American passports inside Lebanon. They have not been helped. We're now in the sixth day of the crisis. And the great U.S. military establishment and our wonderful State Department under Condoleezza Rice have been able, according to the figures that I've seen, they've been able to get 21 people out. Now, this means this is a scandal of super Katrina proportions. 6 days into the crisis, no Americans have been helped out.
But everybody else, every other country, has managed to get their people
out.
That
is correct, and let's go through them. We've got Spain, Greece, Austria, South Africa, Switzerland, France, Bahrain, Saudi Arabia, Italy, Germany, Netherlands, Belgium, Poland, the Emirates. All of those have been able to get substantial numbers of their nationals out of the country. According to some cable reports, Italians and South Africans began leaving with the help of their embassy on Thursday. Now, you've heard Americans complaining on cable television, the U.S. embassy and the consulates don't give a damn about us. They have no plan, no approach. They're not doing
anything. They're not even giving them any advice, really. They're not even communicating with them.
And it's contradictory advice. They're being told, stay where you are. Now, suppose you're an American living in South Lebanon. You pick up a leaflet from the Israeli Defense Force saying, if you don't leave your home, you will be bombed to smithereens.
Right.
But the U.S. Consulate is saying, stay where you are, don't make a move. Now, the suspicion therefore grows that these Americans are being held hostage for some kind of atrocity or provocation, which would be masterminded by intelligence agencies and the obvious suspects, U.S., Britain, Israel. This is no mystery who would be doing this, in order to get some Americans killed and then pin that on Hezbollah, and there you have a one-way ticket into World War III. And again, the nonfeasance and malfeasance of the State Department and the Pentagon is overwhelming. Imagine what kind of assets Poland has in the Mediterranean compared to the U.S. Now, the U.S. numbers are greater. That is true. On the other hand, the assets are incomparably greater. Aircraft carriers, the fleet is based over there in Naples. They should be there already.
We're fighting two wars over there right now with most of our infrastructure in place. I mean, I guess we'd have a pretty good shot at rescuing people from there.
Absolutely. And if there were any serious demand to do this, the Italians did an exemplary operation. They got people into Syria by land. Now, of course, the U.S. doesn't want to show Syria as a humanitarian power in any way. They want to demonize them. But you can also simply fly from British sovereign bases on Cyprus. There are these places like Larnaca, which the British have had. It's basically British territory. There's no government that tells them what to do with it. You could simply have helicopters flying from Cyprus over to Lebanon. You could get a lot of these people out. You could basically, they could all be out already. Now, I also have to point to the absolute nonfeasance of Bush. A real president of the United States would demand a ceasefire. And you would demand a ceasefire for general reasons, because this is an Israeli aggression, and it's unprovoked, and we'll show how it's unprovoked. But also he would say, I'm demanding a ceasefire, among other things, because I have 25,000 American citizens in the country, and I'm also concerned about our Canadian friends. The Canadians have something like 40,000 Canadians in Lebanon that are now being bombed.
And some have already been killed. Some Canadians have already been killed.
Eight Canadians killed, eight critically injured. Now, it's obvious that these people count for nothing. And, of course, the racism that we saw with Katrina comes back to haunt us, because they will say, well, those are hyphenated Americans, those are Arab Americans, those people are, they're somehow connected to Lebanon. Well, I'm sorry.
Yeah.
An American citizen is an American citizen and deserves what we used to call the full protection of the laws. But obviously, this means nothing to Bush, nothing to Condoleezza Rice. Here's a new ground.
Webster. I know you're on a roll. We've got to take a quick break. We're going to come back more with Webster, Griffin, Tarpley right after this. We're also going to go to your calls in this next hour as well. Stay tuned. This is the Alex Jones Show. I'm Jack Blood. Infowars.com, PrisonPlanet.com. Stay tuned.
Hello, friends. Alex Jones here with an important question. When was the last time you used Pure Soap? I mean, real hard to find all-natural Pure Soap that contains no dyes, perfumes, deodorants, detergents, or other dangerous toxins. The Calbin Pure Soap Company, for the past 57 years, has been making triple-concentrated Pure Soaps exclusively for healthcare professionals and hospitals. Now, for the first time, Calbin Pure Soap is available factory-direct to you and your family. That's great news because Calbin Pure Soap is made from all-natural ingredients. Is earth-friendly and completely environmentally safe. So if you want yesterday's values today for good old-fashioned pure soap, call 1-800-340-7091. Save up to 85% off supermarket and retail store prices. Call today for a Calbin soap catalog at 1-800-340-7091. That's 1-800-340-7091 or on the web at calbinpuresoap.com. Try pure soap once and I'll guarantee you'll never use anything else.
Here it is, folks, the 2006 Red Book, the most comprehensive edition ever published. Midas Resources believes our clients should be as informed as possible. It includes the history of U.S. coins, the actual mintages, the grading standards. Learn the stability of real money. Protect yourself from fiat currencies. They are instruments of debt. Feel the comfort and safety of real money. Midas will send you the 2006 Red Book and a genuine silver dollar for just $22.95 delivered. Call Midas today at 1-800-686-2237. That's 1-800-686-2237. Don't be lost in a sea of confusion. Get the 2006 Red Book. Help steer your own financial ship. Call Midas now, 1-800-686-2237.
Now you can upgrade your existing gravity filter to remove chemicals such as trimethylenes, atrazine, benzene, chlorine, chloroform, and MTBE to below detectable limits. Black Berkey elements are so powerful, they remove pathogenic bacteria, cysts, and parasites to non-detectable levels and transform water, even raw, stagnant pond water, into delicious, crystal clear drinking water. Nitrates, nitrites, radon 222, unwanted heavy metals like lead, mercury, and aluminum are no problem. Foul tastes like chlorine and obnoxious sulfur odors are removed without removing the healthful and beneficial minerals that your body needs. Black Berkey elements flow 1.5 to 2 times faster than ordinary gravity elements, which means it takes much less time to filter your water. Supercharge your gravity filter today. Upgrade to Black Berkey purification elements. Get a 2-pack for only $96 or a 4-pack for only $175. Call New Millennium at 888-803-4438. That's 888-803-4438 or order on the web at berkeywater.com.
Do you know the truth about breast cancer? Do you realize that the race for the cure is over? The best-kept secret in the world today is that now it is possible to kill cancer without personal suffering, mutilation, and poisoning of your entire system. Now, it's cancer's turn to die with LaserMed Inc.'s patented methodology. Without cutting, bleeding, drugs, or damaging radiation, we can destroy skin cancer and breast tumors of any size without adverse side effects at a physician's office. Star War technology at its best. For more information, call 702-953-0267 or visit www.lasermedinc.com or call 702-953-0267.
Tuning in, you've got the Alex Jones Show, Genesis Communications Radio Network. Jack Blood sitting in for Alex today. Our guest is Webster Griffin Tarpley, Synthetic Terror Made in the USA. Great, great book. One that I have rather worn through. It's about every page is dog-eared and some of it's coming apart because I've just been through it that much. I can learn a lot from guys like Webster Griffin Tarpley. So can you. That's why we're going to let him roll here for a bit, and then we are going to take your calls in this hour as well. Where we left off, and Webster, you sent me this, hold Mossad, Shin Bet, Israeli Defense Forces responsible for the safety of these 25,000 Americans in Lebanon now. It is absolutely preposterous that those people are left there. by our president. Our president that should have some control over a country like Israel, who should be able to say, cease fire till I get my people out, and then if you got to keep bombing, bomb away. But again, this really reveals how close our government is with Israel, and as you say, has false flag terror, mass casualties, American casualties written all over it. Webster?
I think it would be reasonable for an American president worthy of the name, first of all, to demand a ceasefire for the sake of the peace of the world,
yeah,
and to stop these humanitarian monstrosities that are going on. But with a special eye towards the 25,000 Americans who are there, the statement ought to be, we hold the Israeli government and all of its military and security agencies personally responsible for the welfare of those Americans, and if any of them get killed by bombing or, above all, by false flag provocations, there will be no $4 billion aid check for Israel coming out of the U.S. Treasury and going over there. And also the $10 billion of loan guarantees that were conceded in the first half of this decade also should be abrogated. I would add to that, from our point of view inside this country, we should put Ms. Rice on notice that she better not be shopping on Fifth Avenue for more Gucci shoes, because her job is to protect Americans in a place like Lebanon.
Yeah.
Anybody gets killed in Lebanon among the U.S. community, the State Department also has to be held responsible for their massive failure. Again, it's the sixth day. Just about every nationality in the world has received some help. The exceptions are the U.S. above all. The British have also had a similar policy. It's very interesting. We look at some of the British tabloids, we find that Britons are protesting that the British embassy in Beirut is ignoring them completely, and they're calling the BBC to complain, why doesn't the Foreign Office and the British embassy do anything to help us? Maybe they're also being dangled out there as bait for false flag operations. But it is a colossal scandal, and people ought to make that known to their congressmen, senators. We're paying a tremendous budget for the State Department. A lot of that is consular activity to help people that are in these straits.
Yeah.
If you've seen the State Department spokesman, he goes on the air at the end of last week saying, well, you're on your own. We're not going to help you out. We urge you to leave. But that was at the time when there was a sea blockade, the airport destroyed, and all the roads under bombardment. And if we look at the State Department communique, it reminds everybody that it won't be free. You're going to have to be billed for the cost of getting you out. I don't know what we have
this,
a government
this is a
for.
Bit of a pattern, though. Of course, obviously, Katrina comes to mind first and foremost. But what about in the World Trade Center towers in 2001? I mean, weren't people told to stay at their desk? And, of course, this is how we ended up with so many casualties?
Absolutely. Again, we're in the sixth day of the crisis, right? It started last Wednesday. The day is ending now. It's 9 o'clock at night in the Middle East. We've had six full days where the great U.S. military establishment, again, based right over there at Naples, right, the day of steaming away at most, has done nothing. The French have been able to mobilize a ferry boat, which is now going back and forth from Lebanon to Cyprus. Maybe Bush is afraid of seeming to break the Israeli sea blockade, which is also a violation of international law. Anyway, this is now a scandal. Now, again, let's look beyond it, however. In addition to this question of how the U.S. might be embroiled, we have to think about the strategic implications. If we had some atrocity, some massacre committed against the Americans who have been hung out to dry and left dangling in Lebanon, this would then become grist for the mill for the hysterical media operation that we've seen with Fox, but we've also seen CNN, MSNBC, all joining in. All of the U.S. networks pretty much are on a full war footing, a full propaganda regime. That they would blame that on Hezbollah and Iran. And let's see now what happens if the U.S. bombs Syria and or Iran. Let's look at Syria. It ought to be known to people that Russia, the Russian Federation, a considerable power with many, many ICBMs still left in good order, have a naval base at Tartus in Syria. If that base were bombed, that would begin the slide towards World War III.
Let's come back with that when we get back here. Also talk about UN peacekeepers and who is Hezbollah, something we need to clear up. Webster Tarpley with us. Folks, stay tuned. The Alex Jones Show.
We're on the march. The empire's on the run. Alex Jones and the GCN Radio Network.
In December 2005, CNN had a special documentary about the inevitability of nuclear terrorism on American soil. When the mainstream media is reporting on such a perilous topic with such candor, it should be taken very seriously. Currently for sale by owner, the ultimate secure home is strategically located in the awesome mountains of southwest Colorado. This patented steel-reinforced concrete earth home was built to withstand any natural or man-made disaster you can name, whether that be a forest fire, an earthquake, or even a full-scale nuclear attack. The house is completely off-grid with solar electricity and an independent water supply. It even has a hidden fallout shelter with NVC air filtration. Its many self-sufficient and high-security features will amaze you. With nuclear World War III looming ever closer on the horizon, this custom survival home is turnkey, ready for a new owner. For more information, visit www.ultimatesecurehome.com. That's www.ultimatesecurehome.com.
Do you know where the 78 potentially active volcanoes in U.S. are located? And do you know the locations of the top 300 prime terrorist targets? You can find these answers and more in the new interactive CD book, Prudent Places USA. With the more than 50 interactive parameters, you can pinpoint natural and man-made disaster areas, brewing environmental catastrophes, the safest cities, the best places for solar and wind energy, and much, much more. Complete with 3 gigabytes of detailed information on each of 3,000 plus counties in the U.S., including 550 high-resolution full-color maps and full-color photographs, as well as detailed information and analysis to help you zero in on the best places to live, the ideal location for cabins and vacation homes, as well as safe and unsafe areas. Get Prudent Places USA for only $29 plus shipping by calling New Millennium at 888-803-4438. That's 888-803-4438 to order on the web or at BerkeyWater.com.
Why continue to suffer from pain, illness, and disease when natural health and wellness therapies are within your reach? Hundreds of people report improved health and wellness using Rife frequency technology. In the 1920s, research scientist Royal Raymond Rife discovered that disease organisms could be destroyed using resonant frequencies. The BioSolutions frequency instrument uses this same technology for relief or elimination of pain and disease conditions. There are no side effects. Join others in discovering a return to natural health and wellness. BioSolutions has over 550 programmed auto-sequences for various health conditions and is very easy to use. Customer satisfaction is guaranteed or your money back. For more information, call BioSolutions toll-free at 866-885-6625. That's 866-885-6625. Once again, that's 866-885-6625.
Crashing through the lies and disinformation, it's Alex Jones, only on the GCN Radio Network.
Webster Tarpley with us today. You are tuned into the Alex Jones Show, Genesis Communications Radio Network. There is so much to all of this. I think the best thing we can do is just try to absorb it all, see what meets with our common sense, see what is fact and what is fiction. One of the things that's fiction, at least in my mind, watching the conspiracy theories being woven by the establishment media, trying to arrive at the conclusion that Iran is ultimately behind all of this and they're using Syria and Hezbollah to do that. And Hamas, by the way. I think we need to really dig deep and find out who Hezbollah is, who is Hamas, who is funding them. What are the facts? Not the conspiracy theories involved here. Not all the pieces of the puzzle link up through a variety of actions that we as news people and pundits try to interpret. Let's look at what the facts and what the history here is. Webster Tarpley, before we went to break, you were talking about a Russian naval base in Syria. I wanted to let you finish with that. And let's get into who is Hezbollah.
The Russian naval base at Tartus has been maintained at a low level of activity, but it's there, and it has been there ever since the end of the Cold War. The Russians never went home. So you bomb that, you're killing significant numbers of Russians. The other thing is, over the past weeks, I had picked up stories that a Russian surface-to-air missile battalion, a SAM batteries, had been transferred by Russia into Syria. Now, that means that if the Israelis try to attack Syria, they're going to start to lose significant numbers of planes, and that goes for anybody else trying to make such an attack. So this obviously complicates it. It means that if the United States does do anything vis-a-vis Syria and or Iran, you're going to get World War III. In Iran, you've got Russians working in the nuclear facilities that they're helping to build. You've got Chinese in the oil fields because of their large oil purchases. It doesn't take many dead to send both of those countries into a tailspin of war enthusiasm, and then you can get World War III. I just want to mention one other thing. The constant story that we're told is that the two Israelis on the northern front were kidnapped from Israeli territory, and it looks like this is not true. Most of the evidence points to the fact that the two Israelis were on Lebanese territory. They had violated the Lebanese border. There's a newspaper in Germany called Junge Welt, and they quote some papers in Lebanon, Al-Manar, a Lebanese news agency, that in the course of June in particular, the Lebanese army had discovered a Mossad cell operating in Lebanon. This had been set up by a guy called Meir Dagan. Meir Dagan is one of the bosses of the Mossad. He is the chief of the Mossad. It's D-A-G-A-N. He had created teams to go inside Lebanon to conduct car bombings and assassinations. Now, these people don't look like Israelis. They are Lebanese, but they've been recruited right by the Israelis. Some of them can be Druzes. Some of them can be Christian Maronites. Some of them can be of other ethnic origin. But the idea is that a whole series of assassinations inside Lebanon had been done by the Israelis using these groups. For example, you may know the name Jibril. Ahmed Jibril was the head of the PFLP, the Popular Front for the Liberation of Palestine. His son was killed in May of 2002. And other politicians in Lebanon, above all, Hariri, right, the prime minister of Lebanon, who was killed under very mysterious circumstances. This was blamed on Syria. There's some indication that it was done from the air by a bomb that might have been dropped by the Israeli Air Force, let's say. Or
it was blamed on Syria, but let's be very clear to the listeners, Webster, if they had any actual proof of Assad being part of this assassination attempt on Hariri, we would have heard about it.
Well, we had the Melis report at the United Nations, and the Melis report simply said nothing can happen in Lebanon without Syria approving of it. But now, with these revelations, we see that plenty happens in Lebanon
right
that has nothing to do with Syria, that the Mossad has been killing people left and right, setting off car bombs, trying to foment ethnic conflict. And, of course, we know that there are plenty of Israeli Special Forces teams inside Lebanon now, not just the one that was announced this afternoon. So the evidence points to the fact that the Israelis now become the prime suspect in the Hariri killing, which was the basis of the big U.S. Hysterical campaign last year that the Syrians had to leave, that the Syrians were bad, and so forth. And ironically, it was the success of that campaign, forcing the Syrians out, that led to the creation of the current government under Signora. So Signora, the guy you see on television, is basically an asset of the U.S., and he's being destroyed by the Israelis. So the notion that the U.S. has a Middle East policy is out the window. The Israelis don't care about any of that. The Israelis do whatever they want, and this pathetic little twerp that we have in the White House feels that it's up to him to come out and announce his emphatic approval of whatever Olmert does. It was already a deep humiliation for the United States when General Scowcroft pointed out that Bush was in Sharon's pocket, but now we have Bush in Olmert's pocket, and this is even more humiliating
Scowcroft
of our type.
We should add Scowcroft being an employee or a former employee of Kissinger Associates, who was an employee of the Rockefeller
right
consultation group. So we can kind of see that these guys, and it's nice to see Zbigniew Brzezinski and others condemning war that we know they would have very well undertaken themselves
given
the opportunity.
Just to make that very clear, don't believe a word coming out of Zbigniew. Zbigniew's argument with the neocons is this. Zbigniew ridicules the neocons. He says, ha-ha, you Straussian neocons, you're obsessed with the Middle East because you think the world revolves around Israel. Zbigniew says, don't waste time in the Middle East. Attack Moscow directly. March directly to Moscow. He says he's more concerned about the collapse of the U.S. puppet regime in Ukraine, which has now collapsed and been replaced by Yanukovych, the pro-Russian politician on the scene. Zbigniew would have had color revolution, CIA people power coup in Belarus, followed by an attempt to do the same thing.
No, we know this, and this is just a slower path to try to make all of that happen.
This is a somewhat meandering path to World War III. Now, you were asking about Hamas, Hezbollah.
Exactly.
Let's do Hamas. Hamas is easy. Hamas was created by Sharon. No problem at all. Sharon didn't like the PLO. He saw that they were westernized, that they were conciliatory, that they wanted to have a negotiated settlement, and he found that was embarrassing for the Israelis because it was always the Israelis saying, no, 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 no talks, no political solution, there are no Palestinians. So he created Hamas using his concessions that he was able to give when he was housing minister and similar things to build up Hamas as a kind of a social welfare agency in the occupied territories, and he wanted them to be as radical and as irresponsible in their rhetoric and as anti-Israeli as they could be. The problem was then, of course, that they won the election after the PLO had been brutalized and humiliated and attacked and bombed and arrested and assassinated. Hamas then won the election earlier this year. The interesting thing is, a very influential group in the Hamas called the Prisoners Group, some of the 10,000 Palestinians who are languishing in Israeli jails right now. We hear about the three Israeli soldiers, not too much about the 10,000 Palestinians and others who have essentially been grabbed, kidnapped, if you will, by the Israeli police and security. The Hamas Prisoners Group had formulated the following position. They said, we'll be glad to recognize Israel's right to exist. We'll give them full recognition. We just want reciprocity. Wonderful thing in international law. You want to recognize me? I'll recognize
right.
you. You recognize me.
Which makes sense.
So this is a very reasonable position. So Israel would be called upon, recognize Hamas as the government of the independent Palestinian state. Let's exchange ambassadors. Let's do all the things that governments do. And we will recognize Israel on the spot. Now, this was intolerable for the demagogy of somebody like Olmert, and therefore they had to begin with this process, which has led now to the arrest of many members of the Palestinian parliament, in effect, even members of the Hamas cabinet, and a tremendous a series of turbulent scenes between the PLO.
Which happened a few weeks ago and is long forgotten in this newest conflict.
Right, so that was Hamas. So then somehow, this is, of course, Gaza. Gaza is not independent. Gaza has been momentarily vacated, or had been momentarily vacated by the Israelis. But it's a Bantustan. It's simply a kind of concentration camp, if you will. It's about 200 square miles, right? It's got 1.5 million people in it, and they have no jobs, and they can't cross into Israel to work, and their only hope was to try to get out through the Egyptian border. So these people are being held in absolutely subhuman conditions.
Let's move to Hezbollah, because, as you say, Hamas is pretty easy to decode. There's a lot of information coming out of mainstream media. I mean, we're pretty clear on how Hamas was begun. We obviously can put two and two together and see the infiltration of Hamas and know when we see Hamas, we're likely looking pretty close at Mossad or Shin Bet or Israel. But let's talk about Hezbollah, because
I would not say that Hamas is controlled by the Mossad today.
They're no longer controlled. They have no assets in Hamas now.
I'm sure the Israelis infiltrate everything, and there's no doubt about it. I'll give you an example in a couple of minutes, but I would say Hamas has to be viewed with the election victory.
I just thought it was rather convenient, Webster. I mean, excuse my my naivete. I just thought it was extremely convenient to have Hamas win that election in Palestine, and you can almost look into the crystal ball and see all of this coming down the road.
This was virtually inevitable. The PLO kept saying, we want a negotiated peace, and the Israelis kept bombing and strafing and arresting, and eventually people got fed up, and they found that they got more bang for the buck with the Hamas vote, and I think that's absolutely understandable to anybody. That was the protest vote at the moment. Now let's look at Hezbollah. In order to understand this, you have to realize Lebanon has been wrecked by the Israelis many times, not even four times, five times, six times. We have to go back to 1975. Lebanon, in some ways, was an exemplary country for the Middle East because they were operating under the Constitution of 1943, which meant that Shiites, Sunnis, Maronites, Melkites, the Maronite Christians, Melkite Christians, all different kinds of people had a position in the government, right? The president had to be one thing, the prime minister another, the speaker of the lower house one thing, the speaker of the upper house, the president of the Supreme Court. All of this was assigned according to ethnic appartenance. And you may say that's not the American way, but this worked for them. So this was an interesting example of how these groups could get along in an obviously multi-ethnic country with a weak state. In 1975, Kissinger, Henry Kissinger, personally, deliberately provoked a civil war among these groups. And he did it with the goal of destroying Lebanon. And this succeeded. So he was able to play the Maronites, the Christian side. Some of them, of course, are fascists. That would be the Falange that were active at the time. And I think they're still there. They're also available for dirty activities. This then led to the Tel al-Zatar massacre. In 1976, the Israelis went into southern Lebanon, the Syrians came into parts of northern Lebanon, and the Tel al-Zatar massacre was a Palestinian camp that was surrounded by the Israeli Defense Force, and then the Maronites, the Falangists, the so-called Christian Falange, went in and actually did the killing. And this is one of the things that Sharon has been accused of war crimes in connection with in various in various actions in the European legal system. So that's the first step, that Lebanon was essentially smashed deliberately by Kissinger, with a significant part of it being he did not want the peaceful coexistence among these groups sitting in the middle of the Middle East. You got to remember, Beirut is a real cosmopolitan city, probably the biggest publishing center in the Arab world. Most books come out of there. Then in 1982, we get Sharon, and this is Sharon's big invasion of Lebanon, which leads to an Israeli occupation of much of Lebanon that really only ends in the year 2000. But as a result of this second one, in 1982, Hezbollah is founded. I would regard Hezbollah as a response, a desperate response of the Lebanese, Shiite community in particular, in extremis, having been invaded, subjected to civil war, bombed, starved, blockaded, and all that. Hezbollah is simply a very effective self-defense force that they have come up with.
Well, they're being funded by somebody, and I guess what we're trying to get to here, Webster, is, you know, the fact of the matter, here's what we're told. They are directly controlled by Iran and by Syria.
I don't
obviously,
think
they have to. Any organization like this has to have some type of upper-tier funding or upper-tier help in order to even exist to begin with. Don't you believe that?
Well, the main thing about them is that they have a very, very strong mass base, and they have very, very dedicated people, again, in the Lebanese Shiite community. Now, if we say they get money, I'm sure they get money from lots of people. I would say they get money from Syria, most likely. When the Syrians were there, it's clear that they did. And from Iran also, they have a close relationship.
Sure, they probably have people in America sending them money. I mean,
they probably got money. The Saudis are famous for paying everybody. The Saudis want to have everybody like them, so the Saudis pay them.
Who's calling the shots here? Is what we want to know.
The leadership that you see on television is close enough. In other words, the Hezbollah guy that we see on television, the Sheikh, and he's got a rear echelon that probably sits in Damascus. On the other hand, what kind of an argument is this, right? They say, the U.S. says, these bombs come from Syria and Iran. Yeah, the Israeli F-16s and tanks and bombs all come from the U.S. So what's the point? What is the issue? This is the sort of Manichaean nonsense that one side represents absolute evil, the other side absolute good, and once you touch absolute evil, you're totally tainted. This is childish. This has nothing to do with reality.
But you're saying that Hezbollah, as we know it today, is generally autonomous, is responsible for their own actions. You wouldn't necessarily go as far to say, again, as the pundits on mainstream media, that this is Syria and Iran. In fact, let's just cut the middleman out. This is Iran, plain and simple. They've threatened to do this. This is them trying to wipe Israel off the face of the earth with minor weapons, rubber bands, and rocks.
I think that is all nonsensical. You also have to look at the fact there was an election, right? As a result of this U.S. agitation against Syria, there was an election in Lebanon, and at that point Hezbollah won about, what, one-sixth of the seats, 25 out of 125, mm-hmm. or something like that. So that indicates that they have a strong mass base in the 40% or so of the Lebanese who are Shiites, and naturally, since they're Shiites, they look to Iran to protect them in the same way that an Orthodox Serb would look to Russia. And I don't see anything surprising about this, and I don't see anything so surprising. It is interesting. Hezbollah is the one force in the Middle East which unquestionably defeated the Israelis. The Israelis wanted to stay in southern Lebanon. The Israelis had created a puppet force called the South Lebanese Army under this guy called Major Haddad, a fascist, obviously. And they kept the area south of the Litani River as a kind of buffer zone, precisely because of these rockets. But the Hezbollah guerrilla activity was so effective in that area that the Israelis were forced to retreat in 2000. And that had an electrifying effect on the Arab and Islamic world, because this was the first time the Israelis had actually been driven out, like forced out of territory, and Hezbollah was able to book that to their own credit.
Webster Griffin Tarpley giving us quite a history lesson here today, and I think this is all important to understand, so that I hope that everybody is paying attention. We're going to come back, briefly talk about where Pakistan fits into all of this. We're going to open up the phone lines for Webster Tarpley today on the Alex Jones Show. Stay with us, folks. This is Jack Blood filling in for Alex Jones. Infowars.com, PrisonPlanet.com, GCN Radio Network.
Hey folks, Alex Jones here, and I'm very excited to announce the release of my bombshell documentary film, 911, The Road to Tyranny, on DVD. That's right, folks, DVD. The original film was 144 minutes long. The DVD version is 170 minutes. If you want to wake up your friends and families to the truth of what happened on September 11th, this is the film for you. The Road to Tyranny is already sending shockwaves through Washington and across the United States. You absolutely must see this DVD. It covers the history of government-sponsored terrorism, the police state and homeland security, the nightmare UN population control programs, the cashless society control grid, satellite tracking, implantable microchips, and much, much more. Bottom line, this film is waking people up. Order your copy on VHS or DVD today, and man the guns of the InfoWar. Order right now by calling 1-888-253-3139. That's 888-253-3139. Or order online at InfoWars.com or InfoWars.net. Again, that number, 888-253-3139.
Berkey Security Pack is your one-stop solution for unexpected emergencies. It provides you with purified water, light, power, and communications ability. The Security Pack includes a Berkey Light water purifier, an LED base, two Berkey Sport filtration bottles, the Berkey battery adapter, the Berkey MP solar charger, as well as a backup set of two Black Berkey purification elements. The Berkey Security Pack is important every day and a must during emergencies because it provides purified water, long-term low-energy lighting, backup battery power for your Berkey LEDs, free long-term solar power for communications devices such as radios, walkie-talkies, and cell phones, as well as power for small applications. Get the one-stop solution for your emergency and everyday needs. The Berkey Security Pack, a retail value of $518 for only $399 by calling New Millennium at 888-803-4438. Not yet available in Iowa.
Herbal Healer Academy is a global supplier of the finest natural medicine that you may need in these troubled times. We specialize in keeping you alive and healthy. We provide outstanding products like ECAC, colloidal silver 500 parts per million, olive leaf extract, oregano oil, and hundreds of herbals, oils, books, and educational materials. We have homeopathic detox solutions for contrails, radiation, MSG, and aspartame poisoning, to name a few. We also train naturopathic healers via correspondence education. For a limited time, you can sign up on the website and receive our 104-page catalog and a current Herbal Healer newsletter free. Simply log on to herbalhealer.com. Check out our online member testimonials and our hundreds of exceptional products. We have been working hard since 1988 to save the remnant. That's herbalhealer.com, your website for safe, effective, natural alternatives and education.
The Genesis Communications Radio Network proudly presents The Alex Jones Show. Because there's a war on for your mind.
What a great opportunity to meet Webster Tarpley at the 9/11 Truth Convention in Los Angeles, and I liked how he made himself really accessible to all of the attendees at the convention. Webster, like me, your head was probably spinning over there. You took a lot of questions, but it was great of you to do that. I hope that you can stay with us into the second hour. We can take a bunch of calls from the listeners.
As long as you need, Jack.
Let's do that, because, you know, when we're painting this picture, it's easy for you to understand. You've been studying this for decades. I've been studying it for a number of years myself, and I know that there's probably some confusion on some of these issues, so I want to give the listeners a chance to clear all that up. Let's do that in the second, the third hour of the broadcast today. Folks, again, this is the Alex Jones Show. Jack Blood sitting in for Alex Jones today. Talk about Pakistan with me in the few minutes we have
Jack,
left in this
Jack, maybe before we go to Pakistan, just a few other things that are essential on the specific stuff in the Middle East. Because we could get to Pakistan, India. It's a very different situation.
I'm handing you the steering wheel. Go ahead.
There's a false flag common denominator. That presence of the Israelis in Lebanon from 1982 to 2000 was a disaster for them in every way. They lost more soldiers in that process, especially in the last years with Hezbollah coming against them, than they lost in all their other wars. And the other thing is, they were driven to the verge of absolute national bankruptcy. Israel has been impoverished. It has turned into a very poor country. With Netanyahu as finance minister in these Sharon governments, I think the figure is something like one-third of all Israeli children live in poverty. Now, what kind of a policy is that?
Yeah.
A country that has to rely on its mental capital, its qualified labor force, doesn't have oil, doesn't have natural resources, has to depend on producing things. And the Israelis could do very well in that, but not with Netanyahu. It's after the bankruptcy virtually became clear in 2000, they're getting $4 to $5 billion a year from the U.S. or something in that ballpark. They had to request an additional $10 billion in loan guarantees from the United States. So one of the things you have to realize is that the pressure cooker of Israeli politics is also fueled by the fact that people have seen their living standards collapse, in particular as Netanyahu brought in his wild schemes of deregulation, privatization, vulture capitalism, and the rest of this stuff. Now, the other thing to say is, what's the answer? We've got to at least begin to put this on the table.
Sure.
I go with people in Israel like Yuri Avneri. I want to recommend this to people. If you want to follow week by week what's going on in Israel, you can read Yuri Avneri's columns. The organization is called the Gush Shalom, S-H-A-L-O-M. So G-U-S-H-S-H-A-L-O-M. That's in Hebrew. It's called the Other Israel. This is the Israeli peace movement. If you want to go a little bit more towards the established parties, I suppose the Meretz Yahad party is probably the most interested in a peaceful solution. But what's the peaceful solution? In November 2003, we had Yossi Beilin, an Israeli politician, had been a minister in various governments, Yasser Abed Rabo for the Palestinian side, come out with a plan, which is simply this, that the Israelis have to pull back all of their settlements to the 1967 borders. All of them go back. At that point, we get a Palestinian state in the Gaza Strip and the West Bank as the borders were in 1967, and these two recognize each other. So the settlements have to disappear. And on the Palestinian side, they have got...
Well, there's your solution. What's the likelihood of that happening?
They've got to give up... The Palestinians, one other thing, the Palestinians have to give up the right of return, because it's going to have to be two separate states, and the Palestinians will be able to return to a Palestinian state.
And then we have Jerusalem. Stay tuned with us. Webster Griffin Tarpley coming back, and your call. Third hour of the Alex Jones Show coming up right after this.
Copies of the preceding broadcast are available at GCNLive.com or call toll-free 877-300-7645. Hello.